And let's go to Psalm 139. You connect scriptures with people and places and times. I do. There's verses I read and chapters I read always reminds me of some place or somebody or some time in my life, some moment. And they're more endeared to you that way when they're connected with something else. I remember this chapter was old Brother Shearer's favorite chapter in the Bible. I remember. Yeah. It's funny, you know, when you're young, you just don't, and you can't help it. I mean, it's not a put down. Everybody was young. I was young one time. But it's just amazing how much you just miss when you're young and you don't understand. It's amazing, the older you get, you remember people and you remember things and you remember things they said and it just clicks. Now you understand. You know right where they were. Because you're about in the same place they were now. So back then, you know, you just kind of ignore them. You just kind of brush it off and go on your merry way. But anyway, let's read this. I just want to read this one verse. Verse 7. Psalm 139, verse 7. Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? You know, you talk about running from God. We know that Jonah ran from God's presence. Well, that was a vain thing to do because you can't do that. Can't do that. There's a word we use, and it's not in the Bible, but it is true. There's a lot of words that are true about God and about doctrine and about things in the future. You know, they say the rapture is not in the Bible. That don't mean that it's not going to happen. That don't mean that just because that word is not in there that we use to describe it, that don't mean that it's not true and right and real and that it's going to happen. God is omnipresent. Now, that word's not in the Bible, but that don't mean that he's not, because the verse that I just read you proves that he is. God, that means that God is present in all places at all times. Now, he really is. Now, we can't understand that. It's beyond our scope of understanding. We can't even get our mind around that, but God is everywhere, all the time. You can't get away from him. Whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? Anybody got an answer? Where are you going to go? You're going to be, you know, the lost are going to be separated from God in the future. There are going to be a separation. But right now, God's eye, the eyes of the Lord are everywhere. He sees everything. He knows everything. And he doesn't have to multitask to do it. And he doesn't have to delegate to do it. He himself knows what everybody in this room is thinking right now. He knows everything you're doing. All of us. Nothing is hid from the Lord because he's always there. They taught me when I was a little bitty kid, be careful, little mouth, what you say. Be careful, little eyes, what you see. Be careful, little feet, where you go. For the Father up above is looking down in love. Oh, be careful, because he's watching you. All right, let's pray, and then we'll go through this real quick. Father, thank you for the songs. Thank you for the special. Thank you for the Word of God. Please help us to understand this truth and that it would be real to us and make a difference in our life. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, we can't accept this fact unless we realize that God's a spirit and he's not flesh like us. The Bible tells us that plainly. God is a spirit. God's a spirit. He's not flesh like we are. Jesus Christ was flesh like we are. He was God incarnate. But that body that he lived in died and was resurrected and went to heaven. But God is not flesh and bone like us. He's a spirit. The Bible says God is a spirit. He's far beyond that. He exists in a different realm than we do. That's why we don't see him with our eyes. That's why all these visions and manifestations. And Gary saw them this morning about God coming down with, a pirate hat on. Yeah, people seeing God with a pirate hat on and nonsense like that. That's why that people get so worked up about these relics and these manifestations like the face of, or the figure of Mary in a piece of cheese toast or something, you know, any, or a statue crying somewhere, they're just, or a shroud or anything that they could touch that was touched by, it's like a celebrity thing, it's like hero worship, it's not real worship of God. If you're going to worship God, you've got to worship Him what? In spirit and in truth. You don't worship objects, and you don't venerate things and objects and crazy ideas and stuff like that. God's not like that. You got to realize He's a spirit, and so He's different than we are. He's in a different realm than we are. That's why Jesus came back to get His bride and take her to be with Him where He is. He's in a different place than this. We live in this, on this earth. God exists in a different realm than this. But yet He's not millions of miles away. He's right here. Yes. See, kind of twists your human mind, don't it? He's a spirit. God's a spirit. He's everywhere, all at once. He knows everything, all at once. He's not limited by the limits that He's put on us, that He's put on our senses, and that He's put on our existence. We exist in a very small time frame. We exist in a frame of time. We exist in a space. No matter how big the universe is little compared to what God is. I mean, but He's fastened us up in a place, in a time. We've got limits to what we can even comprehend with our little minds. And God doesn't live or exist in the same limits as we do. He can look in upon us in our world, but we can't look at Him in His world except by faith through what He has revealed to us and told us plainly in His Word. It's a great mystery to us. It always has been. It always will be until we cross over into the realm where He's at. It's a big mystery to us. We see through a glass darkly, and we only know in part. But then we'll see Him face to face. And then we'll know Him, even as we are known. And so, you know, you just got to take into effect. I mean, this really makes God bigger than what most people act like He is, than what most people think of Him in their daily life. God's not near as full of awe and wonder as He should be in our daily thoughts, in our prayers, in our worship, our pitiful attempt at worship. He's not near as, I mean, we just don't comprehend the awesomeness of God. Just this one thing right here ought to make us fear and tremble. To know that He is there all the time. Wherever you are, He's there. He can see you. He can understand you. He knows what your thoughts are afar off. Rest of this chapter, boy, I mean, it really, really digs into all of that. He is God, and we're His creatures. We're not God. That's what the devil told Eve she was going to be. Didn't turn out that way, did it? No, we're the creature. He's the creator. We're little, and He's big. And those words don't even begin to paint the picture like it is. Ain't no way we can compare ourselves to God and realize how infinitely small and insignificant we are in His sight. We talked this morning about the power of God being the grace of God in human heart. Well, and think of the power of the creation. You just can't even comprehend it. So, since this is an attribute of God, He's omnipresent, we're always in His presence. You know? You got to really think about that. Because we don't live like we believe that. We live like that we think that God's here, and when we go out and shut the door, whoo, let's go on now, let's go to work, let's go watch some TV, let's do something. I mean, it's just like God's left here. It's like God's in a certain place where we keep him, and then the rest of the time, we're free to think, do, talk, whatever, we go wherever, whatever we want to do, and we forget about him. Well, that's very offensive to God. Do you like being ignored? You like being treated as if you don't exist by the people who you love? Well, God don't either. Now, if a sparrow doesn't fall without his notice, and that's what the Bible tells us, then surely he watches over us. A sparrow? You mean tell me God Almighty in heaven on his throne don't miss a sparrow falling to the ground? That's what the Bible tells us. You believe the Bible? It's true. That's, he cares about what he made. He cares about the creatures that he made. So if he knows when a sparrow falls, do you think that he don't know what's going on in your life? In your mind, in your heart? You better believe he does. For those who live in rebellion or disregard for God, it's a very disturbing and disquieting thing to know that God's watching them. They don't want people telling them that. They don't want to be reminded of that. They think that because they're in darkness, they're hidden and God can't see them, but God can see them. They might hide it from other people, might hide it from your husband, your wife, might hide it from your children, the people at church. You might hide it from the people you work for or with. But you ain't hiding nothing from God. Never, never. For those who love God and want to please him, this is a great comforting reality. To know that whatever anybody does to me, no matter what threatens me, what is happening, God is seeing it. Man, that'd help you so much if you just, I mean, that's real faith in a real God. If you just realize that you don't have to take care of everything and you don't have to avenge yourself on anybody. God is watching. Let him do what he thinks is best. Why don't you just rest in that truth and rejoice in it and find comfort in it? If you're one of his, if you love God, you can do that. If you believe God, you can do that because you know this is a fact. But if you're living in rebellion to God and disregard for him, you're going to find this real troubling that somebody's watching you. Somebody heard you say that. Somebody saw you do that. And you're going to be feeling fear and guilt because you know that God is not going to stand by and not do anything about what you did. And you never know when he's going to do it. So that's the way it is to live in sin and guilt. The fact that God's always present makes for a very healthy fear of God. And not shaking in your boots, trembling. The child of God don't fear God that way. He fears God in just this awesome respect and awe of God. Because he's like this. He even knows, I mean, he hears every word we say. And he sees every deed we do, whether it's good or bad. They say Santa Claus does that. But Santa Claus ain't real, I hate to tell you. But God is real. And he does. He most certainly does. He even knows our thoughts afar off, this chapter here tells us. So there are no secrets from God. And it's amazing how those Pharisees tried to trick Jesus. God in the flesh. The same mind in Christ as Father on the throne. I mean, this is God who created the universe. And they're standing there talking to him, going to trick him. And he knows their thoughts. He, knowing their thoughts, the Bible says, before they even said something, he knew what they were up to and what they were doing. How foolish. You think those guys knew God? They didn't know nothing about God. No, sir. They're standing right in front of him, didn't even recognize him. had no respect or regard for the God's almighty power. That's who they were standing in front of. Almighty God. Right. He created the universe. The Bible tells us so. That in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That capital W. And then it talks about the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Now, who else can that be? It's Jesus Christ. The disciples were amazed. The ones that knew Him were astounded when He said to the wind and the waves, "Peace, be still." And they stopped immediately, and there was a great calm. They were, "What manner of man is this? This ain't no man. This ain't just a man. This is God." And not only that, He knows what you're thinking before you even say it. Made him kind of nervous, didn't it? If you ain't right with God, that's what this does to you. You don't like this. You value your privacy. You ain't got no privacy with God. I mean, you're naked before God, always. Remember that. You ain't got nothing covered. Say, "Well, that's terrible." No, you understand what I'm saying to you. Everything is laid open before the eyes of God. Nothing is hidden. The Bible teaches us that, says that. All right? Now, Proverbs 15:3, "The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good." Well, how about that? There's no secrets. His eyes are everywhere, in every place. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 12, "For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and His ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil." Why is He beholding the evil? Because He's going to do something about it. That's why. They're going to answer for it. When I was a child, you know, I remember my grandma always told me that if I did something wrong, a little bird would tell on me. I remember her telling me that. And, you know, it would have probably been better if she'd told me that God would tell on me, but the effect of knowing that I was being watched was that I was more careful about what I did. I mean, if a little bird's going to tell on me, I better be careful. God's more than a little bird. Little bird don't see everything. God does. How foolish it is to try to run from God. There's no other word that properly describes trying to pretend you can hide from God than foolish. I mean, I don't know any word that would describe that any better. Foolishness. It's not possible to hide or to run away from God. Jonah found that out, didn't he? I mean, the fish swallowed him, took him to the bottom of the sea, and you read all of Jonah's words there, and he was at the bottom of the mountains, in the depths of the sea, and guess who found him down there? God. Let me read this scripture here. Psalm 139, verses 2 through 3, same chapter here, just back up a few verses. "Thou knowest my downsitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways." Now that comes from somebody who ain't hiding from God. Just open before God. Realizes God can see me. There ain't no need of hiding. Psalm 139, let's read verses 8 through 12. He said, "If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee." That means God can see in the dark. Jesus said they love darkness because their deeds are evil and they won't come to the light. But that don't mean God can't see them. The only evil they're hiding from is from other people. They're not hiding it from God. They're not hiding it from themselves. The darkness and the light don't make any difference. God can see in either one. Darkness doesn't hide anything from God. We have examples in the Bible of those who tried to escape God's presence or pretend that he couldn't see them. And they didn't succeed at that. They didn't make it. Prodigal son found that God convicted him in the hog's pen. He ran away from his father's presence, but he couldn't get away from God's presence. Yeah, and then old Jonah. Jonah found him in the belly of the whale. You'd think you were a goner, wouldn't you? Whale swallow you? That'd be a terrible way to go, you know it? Because you don't die immediately. Jonah didn't die immediately. The whale didn't bite him. He just swallowed him. And by the way, God had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And I mean, he's in that fish and knows he's going down, down, down. You know, we talk about it around here, and being in a submarine to me would be it'd be terrifying. I'd die just realizing, well, what if you're in a fish? And all the nastiness in there and everything. You'd think it was pretty well over. But God was there. He knew where Jonah was. He could still speak to Jonah without a radio, a walkie-talkie, or a telephone. And he communicated really well. Achan couldn't get by with his secret sin because there's one that sees all. Achan took that Babylonian garment and that wedge of gold and hid it in the tent. And nobody knew. Nobody knew. But God knew. And Achan knew. Did it hide? What happened? It came out. God made sure that it came out and was uncovered. We should gladly accept the fact that God's always present. You ought to be happy about that. It's a real comfort. It's a real joy and a blessing. And it's something that's a good thing for a child of God to know that God is always there. It's an edifying thing. It's a purifying thing. If the presence of God is real to you, you won't do things that you would otherwise. You only do them when you make believe that God's not seeing you. You think you're hiding it from God, but you do not hide things from God. Cain killed Abel. God came and said, where is thy brother? You know, well, am I my brother's keeper? Does Cain really think that God don't know what's going on? He said, your brother's blood cries from the ground. I know. There's never any end of people trying to hide from God. Adam and Eve hid themselves in the garden from the presence of the Lord. Well, did God have trouble finding them? Did he have trouble locating them? Did he know have a hard time finding where they was? Not at all. He knew right where they was. They were just foolish thinking that they could hide from God. It's one of the things about sin. If you think you can hide it, you can mark it down, it's sin. God is always present whether there's any evidence or not. You know, knowing that he's omnipresent, why would we even want to separate ourselves from him? It's certain that we'll all face times when God is our only hope and our only help. So you ought to know beforehand that he's always there. That's why he said, lo, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Does that mean he'll always be there? Sure does. That's what it means. You may not feel his presence or see evidence that he's there, but be confident that he is near. You know, God does us like we do our little child. I used to do this to the kids when they were little. We go in a store or something, and if they wouldn't behave and stay right with us, if they kept trying to run ahead or something, I'd kind of make sure there wasn't nobody else around, but I'd just let them go down an aisle by themselves, and I'd just step back around and leave them so that they thought they were abandoned. And you talk about panic attack, and I mean, when they realized they were alone and I wasn't around or mama wasn't around, when they thought it was that way, they was in a panic real fast. They just took for granted that we'd be there. God does that to us sometimes. I believe He does. You know, Job cried out and said, "How long are you not going to answer me? Where are you? Are you going to be silent forever?" The psalmist said the same thing. "Oh God, where are you?" Well, He's right here. He hadn't left you. He hadn't disappeared. He's heard you. He knows you, where you're at all the time. It's just you that won't stay put. There's times when God manifests His presence in a special way. There really is. You live long enough, and if you walk with God enough, you'll understand this and experience it, that God manifests His presence in special ways to you. And I ain't talking about spook and booger stuff, and I ain't talking about Pentecostal craziness and all of that. But I just tell you, the fact is, Jesus said, He said the Father and Himself would manifest themselves to you. And He will. He will. It's a spiritual thing. You're not going to see visions and have dreams and out of this world experiences. It's the Holy Ghost of God that just comforts your heart, that just speaks to your soul. That does, it's like we talked about this morning, the grace of God. It's a real thing. God makes Himself known. I mean, there's times when you just know God's presence so real that you can just almost feel Him. You understand? I don't know. Maybe you don't. Probably don't. But I do. I remember different times when God just did things for me. And it wasn't, I mean, the walls didn't move and the ceiling didn't shake and lights didn't flash. And it was nothing like that at all. But it was so real that, man, it left a mark on my soul. God does that sometimes. But He don't do it always. Sometimes it's you think He's absolutely gone, but He's not gone. You think that He's went silent and turned His back on you, but He hasn't. Most of the time, He doesn't manifest Himself in special ways. And we just have to realize His presence through faith. Because He said this to us, we got to just go on that. We got to go on the promise that God gave us. That He'll never leave us nor forsake us. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. We got to believe what He said about Himself. God, you know, give thanks and praise God for always being there. And there's this old book that somebody wrote years ago. It's kind of like an article more, but it's a book. It's Practicing the Presence of the Lord. And exercise your mind to be aware of His presence. See, we get, the problem here is on our side because we get distracted with all the around us and we forget about God. Just like we forget to shut doors and stuff like that, you know. We went off this morning and left the garage door open at the house. Seth and them came by after we left and good thing they did and shut it. But why did that happen? Well, it was her fault, you know. No, we were just distracted. I went down the hill. I'd forgot my phone, so I backed up to the garage door. And when I came out, I got in the car looking that way and just drove off. Usually we back out, so I'm looking at it, and I have to watch it close. But nope, we just drove off. It was behind us. See? That's the way you do God, too. That's how you forget that He's present. It's how that you mess around and do things that are offensive to Him. You got to practice the presence. You got to exercise your mind in this matter that God's always seen us. If you want your kids to believe it, then you got to be an example to them that you live that way. that you realize that. It'll change the way you think and live if you really believe that God is present always, everywhere. It'll change the way you operate. You quit railing on people on the road, too. If God's in the car with you, how are you going to call somebody a stupid idiot and wish they'd die and run into that pole over there? You know? Think about everything you say. Could you really say that in the presence of God? If you were realizing God's listening to this? Whoa, now that's pretty tough, ain't it? But that's the truth. That's why the people, the closer somebody gets to God, the more they realize these things, this major thing right here. And that's why they get a bridle on their tongue and a bridle on their mind. That's why the Bible says if a man bridleth not his tongue, his religion is vain. It's worthless. If God, knowing God, believing God, knowing His presence, don't even slow you down the way you talk, you ain't got nothing. Amen. All right, y'all been waiting for a short sermon, ain't you? Well, you got one. All right, let's stand. Amen. Lord, thank you for the good Lord's day. Thank you for the good time in the house of God and the good word of God and the singing. And Lord, we've got more here today than a lot of people will get in a lifetime. I know. Sit in church and starve to death spiritually. Lord, please help us not to be ungrateful. Help us, Lord, not to be apathetic about what you've given us here. Please help us, Lord, to avail ourselves of it, to drink in every bit of it, and to live it in our lives. Lord, help us, I pray. We love you. We thank you for blessing us and giving us a place to serve you. And I pray for our church. Please help us, Lord, that we might make a difference, and Lord, we might reach people. It's so difficult in this time we live in when everything's so corrupted and polluted, and the knowledge that people have of you is so twisted and warped and full of wrong things. Lord, help us. And Lord, as we said so many times through the preaching, our example is the strongest influence we've got. People we associate with and work with, Lord, help us to bridle our tongues and help us to, when we're dealing with other people, that they would understand and know that we fear God and that we know the presence of God. When we talk to somebody, when we deal with somebody, help us to realize there's three present, not just us and that other person. There's God in heaven who's listening and watching. And help us, Lord, to live in that knowledge in Jesus' name. Amen.